Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just about an hour, Captain Mike Cofield, aviation expert, advisor to the last 4 presidential administrations. He will join us to give us his insight on the disaster that unfolded around 9 p.m. last night as a passenger jet bound for Reagan National collided with a Black Hawk military helicopter, went into the Potomac. I mean, just disaster as 64 people were aboard the jet, 3 aboard the Black Hawk helicopter. And we'll continue to get details throughout the show today.
So it had been 16 years since there was a U.S. commercial crash in the United States. And Listening to our previous guest, it almost feels like, well, it was inevitable that something was going to happen at some point. And it's hard to comprehend. And every time they come up with like the top 10 most stressful jobs, air traffic controllers in there, it's hard to comprehend probably the incredible stress they have looking at all those dots and just dealing with, because there are so many flights. I remember we looked it up one day and it was like in the United States, it was, I might be wrong, it was something like 20,000 flights a day.
All right. That's,
and this is just
seems
one
like
airport.
A small number based on
maybe
that.
It is
how
small.
Many airports are.
I can't remember the number, but just think of Reagan, how many flights are coming in. I take the GW Parkway home. Mm-hmm. And there's sometimes when I can literally see 4 planes like in a line. Yeah. You know, they're all separated by miles, but they're just one after another after another after another.
Oh, it's a constant stream.
And then we've talked about it. If you're in this area, you're not unfamiliar with these helicopters buzzing by.
Right.
And sometimes like I'll be right on the GW Parkway and they're no higher than 100 feet high.
Oh, yeah, they're zooming all around.
Right, some right of them are, top of
well, it makes
some
you of them wonder, I think, have the president in some of them.
It makes you wonder why anyone would want to be an air traffic controller.
Oh, it just seems like one of the most stressful jobs on the planet.
It's not like they're making $1 million a year.
Or even a pilot. You're responsible for all those lives.
People love it.
Yeah. Did you ever want to be a pilot?
No.
I actually did. I think when it was when I was
never,
in elementary school.
Never.
I think in sixth grade. Do you remember? Did we have to do like a career report?
I'm sure we did at some point.
I'm pretty sure I did pilot and I was interested in it. I don't know why.
Baseball player. What kid didn't say baseball player? Yeah,
I wanted to be shortstop of the Orioles.
Yeah,
but I think we had to pick a real career. I mean, I guess it is a real career.
Catcher.
I had a kid on my flag football team that was probably 13. It was just before high school. So 13, 14, that was already flying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was taking lessons.
Sure.
Flying with an instructor.
Flying already. He was flying like small aircraft at as a teenager, as a young teenager.
And then I ran into his dad 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah.
And he's flying a lot. And like, I mean, he's known what he wanted to do since he was a kid.
Yeah.
And he's doing it. I just,
Dina's cousin, Dina's cousin married a guy who's like a hobbyist.
Okay.
And they just, they occasionally will just like rent a plane and then they fly to like and go camping or something. And it most seems like the most bizarre thing because it's not like he does it all the time. A couple times a year.
You can just go.
But he has his pilot's license.
He has his license.
You can just go rent the
plane. You rent the plane for a few hours or whatever or for a day. Yeah. Okay. You rent because you don't, not everyone owns a plane.
Right.
You rent a plane and they'll go on a small trip or something. And to me, it seemed insane. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you trust him? The guy flies twice a year.
But yeah, he doesn't seem that seasoned.
Yeah, but that's what they did for you. It was like their fun thing, like their hobby. It's wild.
Like I said, I coached this kid. He's 14 years. Let's call him 14 because it's before high school, and he was already flying.
Yeah,
man, that's nuts.
I mean, my hobby is seeing flops. My hobby is much lower on the thrill seeking,
right,
than piloting an airplane.
Right, I'm just trying to.
You
smash
think you're taking a risk when you're going all in?
Oh yeah,
the pair of jacks.
So non-risky. Now it is risky. You're all in with jiggities, and it's never great. It's hard to play pocket jacks. It's basically impossible.
That's the hand I won at MGM on Friday.
Very good. I'm glad you won
like $100.
Good for you.
If you want to give us a call, 800-636-1067.
Did your buddy respond to you?
Not
yet. Your buddy that's a pilot?
No, who knows where he is? I mean, he flies all the time. He could be on the West Coast.
I don't have anybody I know in my very small circle that are pilots.
Right.
I don't think I know any pilots either.
I have a guy that I know that's a cop. I've got my neighbor Kevin is a contractor.
I've got another buddy, actually.
No pilots, though. No pilots that I can think of.
It always goes to your buddy Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, update on my dishwasher. Don't have to replace it. I feel like I got a life win yesterday.
That is a win.
Guy came to repair it.
Yeah.
Care to guess the total, including labor and the part and the repair?
$75.
No, it's not that good.
I mean, $115.
I think like just to show up, they're charging you like $100.
Well,
like,
I thought you were bragging about how cheap it was.
I feel like this is getting off pretty cheap.
All right.
For a
$150.
$300.
Well, you could
have got a new one for $500.
What was the fix?
I don't think so.
What was the problem?
You can definitely get a dishwasher.
Yeah, but he probably has a nice one.
Got fried.
Well, I mean, yeah, you can get a lower level dishwasher for $500-$600.
I mean, I can't have a bottom of the line dishwasher. I don't have top of the line.
All it does is clean your plates. I mean, why are you going to spend $1,000 on it?
Though I did realize that in the 2 or 3 days where it was dead, there's very little that's worse as far as like home like chores than washing dishes by hand, like individually washing plates, coffee mugs, utensils. It's the pits.
I hate all of the mundane things of life. I hate laundry, every aspect
laundry
of it.
Stinks.
Every aspect of
bad.
It, especially folding.
Yeah,
especially folding. Your teenage daughter's undergarments.
Yeah, well,
I'm out on that.
You gotta leave that to her.
I'm out on all female undergarments in my house.
Yeah,
and I hate every aspect of the dishes.
Right,
I hate putting it in the dishwasher. Like Jason loves it. I hate putting it in the dishwasher. I hate taking it out of the dishwasher and putting away.
Yeah, I don't think Jason loves that. I think he just hates clutter.
I don't love it. I just like having a clean kitchen.
No, but he doesn't mind it because I think he is so excited about it being clean that he doesn't mind doing it. And I just mind doing it more than I like it being clean.
Cakes, Whirlpool 24-inch top control built-in stainless steel dishwasher.
Yep.
$539.
I mean, that sounds like a reasonable $229. Price, but like, why would I buy a new one when I can get a fix for a $300?
I always go
that route. Well, I mean, because you're going to end up having to fix it again, and you're going to spend probably the same amount.
Maybe.
Why not get a new one and spend a couple $100 more?
I would rather just stroke the check for the $300.
I've been doing
that one for a few more years.
By the way, it's $529, but you also need to get that thing delivered and installed.
Yeah, it's true.
You keep thinking it's $529. By the time you're done, it's close to a grand.
I'm just talking about the actual price.
I've been doing that Band-Aid with my Sub-Zero fridge
sure.
for a good 5 years.
Yeah.
Every few years, just putting a few more hundred in it. Right. Just holding
pour
out.
A big money pit.
Yeah. Because if you have a built-in nice thing
yeah.
with the panels and everything, and then your refrigerator goes extinct and don't make them anymore,
yeah.
now you got to redo your whole kitchen.
Right.
It's a nightmare.
Or, like in my kitchen, we have like an overhang over the refrigerator so that the refrigerator can only be a certain size.
Of course.
Like it's got to fit in that.
Yes.
It's got to fit in that alcove.
Yes.
And if it doesn't fit in the alcove.
You're screwed.
Like you said, you got to start from scratch.
Yes.
And I'm not redoing that kitchen. Or that's what somebody I'm else isn't coming in and redoing it. Of course.
Yeah, but you're likely to find.
I'm not redoing
you're
it.
You're likely to find other refrigerators that can fit into that alcove.
Oh, trust yeah. me, it's not that easy. Trust
mine, mine is a unique, very long and narrow thing.
You think it's easy? It's not easy.
Yeah.
Trust
so
me,
like
it's not.
To nail it, especially when you've had it all designed nicely, yeah, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Impossible.
It's borderline impossible. It's pretty close.
And I got all the freezer shelves on the bottom and then on another bottom. And then we built a pantry above it. Mm-hmm. It's all screwed up now if I have to replace it.
So bottom line is dishwasher is repaired. Now I'm just waiting for something else is just going to just break.
Right.
Like my like the dryer is going to just go in a week.
Right.
I'm just bracing for it.
I had a contractor over at the house. You guys will get a kick out of this because I want to do a built-in. I want to move my simulator indoors and just take it to the next level.
Yeah.
Why did I think the contractor was over there to figure out something for your mom?
There's also that too.
Yeah. There's multiple irons in the fire.
There's also that too.
Yeah.
But that was the second. I told
that's
my mother
lower
that's
priority.
Secondary.
Yeah,
okay.
It's secondary.
Top priority is
that's
like,
hilarious.
Like bars in the bathroom for you to hold on to. That's secondary. You got a walker. You're doing good.
I mean, did you tell your mom that spring's almost here? I mean, like you're gonna be playing like two or three times a week.
She knows.
Like she's
no. I'll be
you
there.
You got your game on point.
But I had them look at my garage to raise my ceiling. That's a no-go. It would just be way too expensive.
I'm sure.
And I need some storage.
Right.
I had them look at my media room to dig a hole to make, because you can't raise the ceiling in your basement, really, because
yeah.
there's no. So I said, well, what if we dig down?
Okay.
That was, and then I would lose my media room, so that's a no-go. We talked about doing a storage room. That was a no-go. A sunroom. Now I'm back to golf shed.
All right, we're gonna go.
What's
going on? We're gonna pivot here. We're gonna go
Mayor
to
Bowser's
Mayor
doing a press
Muriel
conference.
Bowser's press conference live from Reagan National Airport.
I'm the mayor of Washington, D.C. We are here at Reagan National Airport to provide an update on the tragic events of last night. I'm joined by U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, D.C. Fire and EMS Chief John Donnelly, American Airlines CEO Robert Eisen, the Washington Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority CEO Jack Carter, United States Senator Mark Warner, United States Senator Tim Kaine, U.S. Representative Don Beyer, as well as the Chief of the Metropolitan Police Department, Pamela Smith. And we are joined by first responders from across the Metropolitan Washington region. I speak for all of us when I say, and certainly all Washingtonians, how very sad we are for American Airlines, for the United States Department of Defense, and for all Americans for the loss of life that happened with the collision of these aircrafts. We know that includes families from across our region, as well as in Kansas and across the country. This morning, we all share in a profound sense of grief. I do want to thank the first responders who acted quickly last night, who ran towards danger, went into a very frigid river, and have worked throughout the night. Chief Donnelly reported in last night's briefing that we have a strong mutual aid agreement in our region, and those teams have worked together throughout the night in really tough and heartbreaking conditions. And we should all thank them for their heroic efforts. So we'll have several updates today. I'm first going to turn to the Secretary of Transportation, Sean Duffy, and then you will hear directly from Chief John Donnelly with a situational update.
Thank you, Mayor. Again, Sean Duffy here, Secretary of Transportation. We wish we were gathering for different purposes today. I just want to let you know that the Department of Transportation, the FAA, along with the White House, President Trump, local, state, and federal partners, all working together on this incident in unison. I couldn't be prouder of this team that's been assembled, working tirelessly. Mayor, I want to thank you specifically for your work. A few details I'd like to give all of you, and some of you reported this, but last night, if you live in the D.C. area, you would know that this was a clear night last night. The helicopter was in a standard pattern. If you live in the D.C. area, you'll see helicopters up and down the river. This flight pattern is seen oftentimes when you live in D.C. This was a standard flight pattern last night as well. The American Airlines flight coming into land was in a standard flight pattern as it was coming into DCA. So this was not unusual with a military aircraft flying the river and aircraft landing at DCA. And again, if you live in the area, you'll see that frequently with those two aircraft working together. As you many of you have reported, we have located the two aircrafts. The fuselage of the American Airlines plane was inverted. It's been located in three different sections. It's in about waist deep water. So that recovery is going to go on today as that recovery takes place of the fuselage of the aircraft. NTSB is going to start to analyze that aircraft, partner with the FAA with all of the information we have to get the best results possible for the American people. I would just say that safety is our expectation. Everyone who flies in American skies expects that we fly safely, that when you depart an airport, you get to your destination. That didn't happen last night. And I know that President Trump, his administration, the FAA, the DOT, we will not rest until we have answers for the families and for the flying public. You should be assured that when you fly, you're safe. Thank you.